Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 45, Copycat.
One podcast is copying the most notorious killers in history one at a time. Together, two women must stop them from killing again, or they're next.
Dun dun dun! Hey, everybody.
Hi, welcome.
It's Chaos here.
And Carnage.
And we're back. They Mostly Podcast at Night. We're back after a very successful Halloween-a-palooza.
Back to our regular scheduled programming?
Mayhem.
Mayhem. I like that better.
Our regularly scheduled mayhem.
I like
Yay.
That. Yay!
So for anyone just joining us for the first time, or if you're new after joining us for Halloween-a-palooza, which we hope there are some of you out there.
Please. Please stay with us.
Please stay.
It gets better.
It hasn't even started yet. You're telling everybody it gets better.
I like to keep positive.
We are two best friends who love to bicker about horror movies, and bicker we do. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie?
Yeah, this week we did Copycat. It was a 1995 thriller, rated R, 2 hours and 3 minutes long, and it got a 6.6 on the IMDb scoreboard. How about that tomato meter?
Yeah, on the tomato meter, it is 76%. Audience score 64%, no critic consensus.
Nice.
Yep.
You want a summary?
Yeah.
Harry Connick Jr. tries to kill people, picks the wrong badass bitch, things go awry.
It's not even really about him.
I know.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? I am fuzzy. I haven't done the things go awry for about a month here. You gotta let me get back into this.
You did them all through Halloween-a-palooza. Yes, you did. You never stopped doing that part.
I don't want to tell you this during the time, but I totally phoned in Halloween-a-palooza.
No fucking shit. You think I didn't notice? I'm your host.
And I was kidding, too. Damn.
Okay, so for the cast, we had Dr. Helen Hudson as played by Sigourney Weaver, which I think this is a Carnage pick, by the way.
Yes.
I'm assuming that's why you picked it, because of Sigourney Weaver. I mean, at least
that's
partly.
Why I watched it. The reason I made you watch it is because I actually enjoyed it, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Inspector M.J. Monahan was Holy Hunter.
I love how you spell that.
I spelled her name
Holy
wrong.
Hunter.
Holy Hunter.
Saint Holy Hunter.
Yeah, Holy Hunter.
Going back, Sigourney Weaver, of course, from Alien, Aliens, Ghostbusters.
Everybody knows who Sigourney Weaver is.
No, they might not.
They fucking do, okay?
Oh my god. All right, fine. Holly Hunter, from The Firm, The Piano, Oscar winner, actually, I believe. Yes, she is.
I don't know how I managed to know who she is when I haven't seen any of the terrible movies that you mentioned. That
she won an Oscar.
Who cares?
She's won an.
I know she's an Oscar winner. I think she's
a good actress. You know what? Sigourney has never won.
What?
She's been nominated 3 times, never won.
Oh my god, that is a travesty.
She hasn't been nominated since 1989, too.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
She's so good. I can't believe her. Oh my god, oh my god. Okay.
Sorry, moving on.
Sorry. Inspector Reuben Getz was Dermot Mulroney.
From My Best Friend's Wedding and all sorts of 90s romantic flicks.
Crap. Yep. Daryl Lee Cullum was Harry Connick Jr., also from a lot of 90s crap.
He's also a singer, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That's what I thought he was mostly famous for.
He's mostly famous for, I think he was famous for being a singer first, and then he got into acting after. Nicoletti, which is another cop, was played by Will Patton.
He's known from, Remember the Titans and Armageddon.
Okay. Peter Foley, the bad guy, the current bad guy, the original bad guy being Daryl Lee Cullum, but the new bad guy is Peter Foley / whatever.
Peter Curtin.
Curtin, played by William McNamara, which is a name I have heard before.
Oh, I didn't notice anything he was in. I looked up all his other stuff, and I don't recognize any of this.
I've heard his name.
I mean, McNamara is, I think, just a pretty common name.
Well, it is, but, I mean, I swear.
Feel the Dead? Age of the Dead? Does that sound familiar?
No.
And then, of course, my computer freezes. Yeah, I don't know any of these. They're all, B shit, though. He's done, 40 movies in the last 4 years.
I might just know his name because he works a lot.
Yeah, that might be why.
Anyway, and then Andy, who was, what, was he, her, was that her assistant?
That was her assistant.
John Rothman, who I always remember from Ghostbusters, even though he had a small part in the beginning, I always remember him.
Yeah, he was also in Gettysburg.
What's that got to do with it?
He was also in Gettysburg and The Day the Earth Stood Still, too.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty famous.
Yeah, like, he's pretty famous. A lot of famous people in this movie.
It's a really good cast. It really is a good cast. I mean, granted, some of them might be more well-known now than they were in the 90s.
I think most of these people had their heyday in the 90s, though. This is a very 90s cast.
Midnight. I guess so.
So, let's talk about the... Let's get into the movie into a little bit more detailed of a summary. Okay. How about...
So, Sigourney Weaver plays this criminal psychologist.
Yeah.
Dr. Helen Hudson. And she's giving this speech at this college when she goes to the bathroom. And the serial killer who's been after her, who's kind of like stalking and after at the same time, tries to kill her. He gets caught, he gets sent away to prison.
Which is like, the first thing that drives me crazy is that they cut away. Like, they end the scene where she's still, like, dangling, you know, half strangled with this guy. And then they jump forward 13 months.
13 months, yeah.
And then they just say, oh, he's in prison now.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Let me finish the summary. But continue.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, anyway, 13 months later, Helen is suffering from all sorts of PTSD, which, understandable.
She's agoraphobic.
Yeah, agoraphobic. She's on lots of medication. She's drinking a lot. But there's another serial killer in the area, and she's trying to help the cops, which they think it's a crank call, but they, you know, figure out who she is, and she starts working with them, and you come to find out, spoiler alert, Peter Curtin is actually a disciple of Harry Connick Jr.'s character, Daryl Lee Cullum, and he's after
Helen. He's not actually copycatting Daryl Lee Cullum.
Not till the very end. But he's trying to get her interest by copycatting others.
Yeah, he's spending the movie copycatting other serial killers, and not just one, but like many of the largest ones. You know, he's got all the big ones like the Boston Strangler, the
Jeffrey Dahmer,
Zodiac Killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, Sam Berkowitz, all those big guys that were active in like the 80s and 70s. I don't think he did.
He didn't do Zodiac. They mentioned Zodiac, but they didn't need to do them.
No, he did.
He did Bundy.
They talked about Zodiac in the beginning.
That was the case that old lieutenant had been on, although
I know that, but I remember that, but I thought he had also done one like the Zodiac Killer, but apparently not. Gacy, that was the guy I was mentioning, mm-hmm. Did he do Gacy?
He did not do Gacy.
He didn't do Gacy.
No, it was, the list was based on, it's a stock speech that Helen gives,
right.
And she names five serial killers, and he does every single one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's obsessed with her or something.
Well, Daryl Lee's obsessed with her, and he makes his disciples.
And so, therefore, his disciples are obsessed with her, too, which
exactly.
is weird. But, yeah, don't ask me to tell you whether that's accurate or not, because I wouldn't know.
In the end, people die.
People die.
Ruben dies. Andy dies. Spoiler. Nicoletti gets fired. And then MJ and Helen survive and kill.
And they kill Peter.
They kill Peter, and then at the end, you're seeing Daryl Lee write to another disciple.
And it's like, oh, dun, 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 there's another disciple out there. Who the fuck cares? Anyway.
Do you want to get to your opinion first? Because you clearly have very strong opinions.
This was your
pick. No.
Was your pick. Go first.
No, it's okay.
I don't want to talk first.
Oh, okay. I'll talk first then. Yeah, I thought you would like it. I mean, I didn't think you would love it, but I thought you would enjoy it. But I thought the acting was very good, especially since it's got such a great casting. I think the problem lies in with the script.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the acting. I think the actors are working the best they can with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
The script is definitely faulty, like you were commenting. It's the dumbest cops.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the 80s, 90s, that's how a lot of movies are portrayed, with the dumbest fucking cops alive. Thankfully,
sure.
Hopefully it's getting a little bit better, but then...
Well, you know what, I think with all the procedurals having come into their own as such a huge genre now, that it's getting better. It's still not accurate, but I think it's helping.
I think so, too. I think that's helping a lot, because right now they're playing like bumbling idiots. Like, they go into a house that's on fire. I don't care if you've got babies in that house. You don't go into a
well, you okay. send the fire department.
Dogs, if then you go in after the dogs.
No, if you're a SWAT team and the house is on fire, you don't go into the house anyway. You're not the fire department.
Right, and you know they're not going after, like, and I don't want to say the word victims. I want to say survivors. They were going after him.
Right, they were going after him.
Okay, you found the dead woman slash his wife slash, you know, and the dogs killed upstairs. You get the fuck out at that point. You don't keep searching the house.
Because they didn't even give any indication that they knew he was married. So why would they have been going in for victims? You know, it was just stupid. It was
survivors, and they not
still
victims.
Well, survivors. But they still the wouldn't thing. Have. They still would have sent the fire department in. It's
time was of the essence, though, and that's the you know like no, that's part of the problem. Time was
that
of the
doesn't
essence.
Work. That's not how. That's not procedurally how things happen.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
That's why it's
that's
like
how it's written. Though.
They're all there, and that's why I said the procedurals. They're still wrong, but they still have made things better, like with forensics and stuff. I mean, they've done a better job, but it's still really bad. But back, it's like back when this movie. I mean, oh, the police are so dumb. Oh my god, it hurts my brain.
Anyway, I like the premise of. I like anything with two strong or one strong female lead. You got two strong female leads.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy that. I mean, I it's hard because it is flawed. It is very flawed. I will admit that. But there are parts that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Sigourney Weaver's performance. I'm an agoraphobe.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, so since you picked this and you enjoyed it, like, tell the audience why they should watch it.
Why should they watch it?
Yeah.
I think the performances are nuanced. I like Sigourney's performance, and she even, like, it's, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little trouble now, but it's one of her best performances, she thinks, in her opinion, because mm-hmm. It is so nailed
for
the PTSD that she would have suffered, for the agoraphobia.
Well,
for,
and as far as we know, I mean.
Well, as far as we know, yeah, I mean, we haven't been through anything like, near that.
Like, yeah.
As much as one can surmise, how about that?
Right, like, she... I mean, she really makes you believe it. Let's right. put it that way.
I also like Holly Hunter's character of a, you know, a tough, you know, not badass, but she's tough as nails cops with the, but she tries the sweet, doe-eyed way about things, and she knows what she's been beat, like, you know, with mm-hmm. Sigourney Beaner. I like the repartee. I don't like Nicoletti. I think he's pointless. I mean, as Nicoletti's the cop that actually... Because of his stupidity, he gets Ruben killed.
Yeah.
Because he leaves his gun in a drawer with the keys inside when he's got a cuffed bad guy next to it. So, of course, the cuffed bad guy grabs it.
Which, I happen to know, if you're a cop, you're not allowed to leave your gun in your desk drawer, even if it's locked. Just saying.
Again, we didn't know this stuff, that you know what I mean? Like, no one knew that shit, though, unless you knew a cop or you were a cop. You know, right. We didn't know this shit. I just feel like he's completely stupid. Yeah, he's the ex-boyfriend of... MJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found him completely fucking pointless, mm-hmm. other than setting up Ruben to die.
Yeah.
It could have been any rando cop that did that.
Yeah.
We didn't have to have Nicoletti.
It didn't have
he
to, right. It did
added
not have to be him.
Nothing to the movie.
No.
I can't think of one thing he added to the movie,
the
honestly.
The only thing he added was to be like, all he did was harass the guy that he ended up getting killed.
Which
before
was
that, which was pointless, and then he had this ex thing with MJ, like they were an ex couple.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the point of that was either.
It didn't further humanize either Ruben or MJ.
Nope.
I don't care about Nicoletti.
Nope.
I wanted him dead. When I want somebody dead, I don't care about them. Pretty much. That sounds bad, but
yeah, it does.
There's no point to him.
No, really.
I liked Andy. I was sad he died.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it definitely. Made you feel for... Excuse me, Helen. No.
I'm sorry, it's still your turn.
No,
sorry.
You can go ahead. I can finish. I'm done. I think you should watch it. Even... It's a thriller. It's not a slasher. It is like a psycho thriller. A little bit like a psycho thriller.
It's not much of a horror. It's drama thriller.
It's drama thriller.
It's really not a horror.
It's, yeah, but we do anything creepy.
But we do... Well, we're supposed to... We do anything with elements of horror in it.
Yeah. And there are some, like when she's getting...
And I guess it counts.
Stalking and...
Yeah. So, I didn't like the movie, obviously. But the thing is, I don't like thrillers. I don't like dramas.
Right.
I'm not, like, predisposed to come out of the gate liking this movie. And I thought it had a lot of flaws. I thought Sigourney's performance was excellent. I didn't really connect with any of the other characters. I didn't really care that Andy died. I didn't care that Ruben died. I didn't really care what happened to MJ. The police were written so badly. I didn't think that the movie was written well, and that was my big problem with it. I thought it had a good cast, but it was very, very flawed in the writing, and I didn't think it was very well. But technically, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Like, I'm not going to pick it apart to death for, like, angles or stuff like that, because I don't really know enough about that shit. But, you know, like, it wasn't, like, glaringly terrible production values or anything like that. You know, I'm sure it had a big enough budget that it was, you know, adequately done. But I
20 million for the budget.
20, yeah, so there you go. Like, her house was kind of cool, and it was funny to see all the the stuff with computers, because it was all, you know, because it was from 95. So it's like all the computer stuff was hilariously old.
Bringing us back to high school.
Yeah, and that stuff was even old for me. Like, I don't even find that familiar, because we didn't get the internet in my house until, like, after all that shit. I didn't get the internet in my house until 99, like, late 99. So,
gotcha. It was way different.
Yeah, it was way different. Like, I never had a Mac that early on either. So, like, none of that is familiar to me. Like, it isn't, and I barely remember AOL. But so for me, all of that stuff is just kind of funny to look back on, because it's not even familiar to me. That's like way even too retro for me.
And the fond frustrations of AOL, I remember that fondly.
I still will never forget the noise that a dial-up modem makes, and it will haunt me in my dreams until I die. But I mean, other than that, I mean, when we did have a computer, it was still so basic that I couldn't even do advanced things like what Oregon she did. Trail. You know, like...
like it where was, the world is coming
I couldn't even... I couldn't... Let's just put it this way. Like, I couldn't even do, like, chat.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah, like Yahoo Chat was such a big thing. I couldn't even do that. Like...
That's funny.
For my first computer, yeah. It was so bad. Anyway. Although I did manage to spot the glass pipe in this movie. So yes. If anybody watches this movie, you gotta look out for the green glass pipe sitting on one of her computer monitors, because I was like, that was the first thing I noticed. But her apartment was really beautiful, and then she had all this high-tech stuff in it, and that was pretty cool. She had, like, these really cool shades that were, like, the blinds that were, like, the big long, wide ones,
those
but they were like metal, and then they opened and closed with like a remote. It was pretty cool.
Set design was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. And I don't know why the heck she would have kept that red suit if she had so much PTSD and she had all these bad, like, she had a horrible, like, she was housebound, she was agoraphobic, she had PTSD, she drank, she had panic attacks all the time. Why would you keep that red suit?
Yeah, I know, I had a problem with that too. I'd be like, Andy, get this the fuck out of my house.
Like,
second day.
Yeah, the first thing you would have done, I mean, for one thing, it might have even gone into evidence, I don't know. But the first thing I would have done when I got it back was, like, burn it, or get rid of it, or something.
Well, as we learned from the last movie we watched, anyone can get anything out of evidence at any time, so.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot that that's just an easy thing to do.
The only thing I could think of, it was, like, Versace or something. Like, it cost a shit ton of money, so there was no way that was getting thrown out.
But she was retired, and she was living mighty high on the horse. I don't think it was a matter of, like, oh, I can't spare the money to get rid of the suit, you know, like, whatever. Not that she was ever leaving her house anyway, so why would she need to keep it?
Because movie.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
It was in the script.
Because it was in the script. So that's my opinion, yeah. Any trivia that you had?
I do. Would you like to hear it now or later?
I would love to hear the trivia.
Well, I already said the one that Sigourney Weaver counts this as one of her best performances. And I
would agree with that.
Yeah, I do too. She worked really hard to portray the mindset of an agoraphobe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really tell. And I was going to ask you too. I mean, I'm not going to get to trivia yet, you know, because I want to talk a little bit technical. What were your thoughts of the cameras when you were seeing through her eyes when she was trying to, like, leave her hallway?
Oh, when it got all funhousey?
Yeah.
That was weird.
I kind of thought it was cool. It was, like, an interesting way to see it through her perspective.
I know. I made me really curious because, although I have a slew of mental problems, agoraphobia, I don't really have it like that. Like, I have times when I have trouble going places, but I definitely don't open my door and see a fun house in my hallway. So I don't know. I wonder how accurate that is, but it was interesting. I'm not sure what that was supposed to be or if that was actually accurate or if it was supposed to portray her something else. Like, I don't know.
It's not vertigo, is it? Because vertigo doesn't act like that, does it?
Yeah, but I don't think you get vertigo with agoraphobia. Like, nobody's ever told me you for sure don't, but nobody's ever mentioned, oh, you know how you get vertigo with agoraphobia.
But like, you could have technically both, though, right?
Yeah, but why would the agoraphobia trigger her vertigo?
I don't know. I'm just asking questions. I don't know much about vertigo, so that's why I'm wondering.
Well, I've had vertigo before.
That's why I'm asking you.
But, that's what I'm saying. Like, nothing psychological triggers it, though. Like, vertigo, I had, at least not mine, because mine was an inner ear thing.
Yeah.
It was just inner ear. It was purely a physical condition. It did not trigger with any of my mental stuff.
And that's what I'm wondering, if mentally how it would be triggered too, if like the agoraphobia could trigger.
As far as I know, and I could be wrong, because I'm not an expert. As far as I know, vertigo is purely a physical condition and it's not triggered by that, but maybe it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it's like a fear of heights thing, you can get vertigo with that. But
it wasn't fear of heights, though.
But it wasn't fear of heights.
Yeah.
So that's,
she climbed that stairs,
that's
like
what I don't
business.
Understand. Yeah. Because I know that, yeah, if you can get vertigo with like fear of heights. So in that way it can be triggered by something, but like, I don't know if it... So maybe it could be triggered by something, but I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. I've just never heard of that, so I don't know.
What else... the other thing I might ask you is, what did you think of her coping mechanism as she's trying the George Washington...
Also, if she... Oh. Sorry, real quick. If she really had vertigo, she would have fallen even if she...
That's what I was
going to
ask,
wall.
Too, if she'd fallen. Okay, because vertigo makes you fall, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I keep thinking, not to make fun of vertigo, but I keep thinking of Lucille number 2 in Arrested Development, when her vertigo... You've never seen Arrested Development?
I've only seen, like, a few episodes.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. For those of you who've seen Arrested Development, you know what I'm talking about, with Lucille austere gets vertigo, so... And she just grabs on anything and,
Cause,
like, falls
yeah,
to the ground.
Because, like, when I had vertigo, it's like, your center of balance suddenly isn't there anymore. Like, you can't tell... where up and down, or so, and like sometimes you get like there's spinny vertigo where the room spins, and but it's or sometimes there's up and down vertigo where you can't tell where the floor is. I've had that one too, and both cases you fall.
Makes
like
sense.
You lose your balance because you can't tell where the hell you are in space. So I don't understand what her hugging the wall would have done. She would have just fallen.
It must not have been vertigo. It must have just been...
It must have just
the
been...
agoraphobia.
Yeah. It must have just been, like, you're supposed to... I don't know.
I did, like, the little bits of humor. I mean, there wasn't a lot of humor, but the little bits. She's got agoraphobia. Wait, she's afraid of spiders, too? It kind of cracked me up. No, but what I was asking before that was her coping. Way of coping. Naming all the
naming
presidents.
The president.
I just thought that was kind of...
Yeah, because what it does is distracts you from... You're trying to distract yourself and redirect your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So naming presidents, it forces you to think.
Focus, right?
And you're focusing on something else. Yeah.
I thought that was a great little addition.
That is a good addition. That was a good little thing.
Because I was like, that's kind of clever. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It is.
Okay, so sorry, trivia, going back to it.
Yeah.
I have a couple pieces. I mean, there's lots more, but I've got a couple pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, in the bathroom scene, which it took 8 days to film that last bathroom scene where Peter's recreating the scene.
Uh-huh.
Sigourney spits in his face.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually unexpected by him. His look of shock and horror
really
is legitimate. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because when she did that, and I was struck by his reaction. Like, it was so good because it was
That's
real.
That's why it was real. And then her stuntwoman in that same fight actually broke her nose.
Oh,
Sigourney's
shit.
Did. So I thought that was interesting.
Wow.
The other thing was... Well, two things. I was struck by how they all worked really hard on this film, like, to prep for it. Like, Hired Connick Jr., watched documentaries of serial, like, hours and hours and hours of serial killer documentaries.
Oh, that's creepy.
Holly Hunter went to go work with some homicide detectives. Oh, wait, I do that. Shut up!
No, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, that's creepy, and then I immediately thought to myself, oh, wait, shit, I could say the same thing.
except we're not preparing for roles in Hollywood. No. Sigourney talked to a psychologist and actually talked to agoraphobics, and a lot of detailed work went into their role, so I mean, they did try.
Mm-hmm.
And then
like I said, I mean, the cast was great.
Yeah, it's just the script. You work with what you have, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing was, there were some similar killings in, I want to say, Abbotsford, British Columbia. Like, they stopped showing this movie because it was so similar to the Peter Curtin killings.
They thought somebody was copycatting Copycat?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, that got shut down. They panicked the public, and they stopped showing the movie there.
Holy shit.
So, that's my trivia, though. Do you have a Marigold?
I mean, no.
Okay.
There's nobody, I don't feel like there's any one character that existed purely for the purpose of exposition.
I agree. I don't think so either.
No, there wasn't a Marigold. I think Sigourney did some exposition in the beginning, but she didn't just exist for that, so she doesn't count.
No, she didn't, definitely. Okay, so fan fiction, I guess I can go to now. Are you ready?
Ratings first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why am I so bad at podcasting?
You're not. You just always want a fanfic before ratings, and I don't know why.
Because I'm so excited about the fanfiction. Okay, what's your rating?
I'll give it a 6.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. 6.38.
Okay.
It entertained me. I might watch it again. I don't know.
I definitely will not be watching this movie.
Well, it's not your thing. Like, I love thrillers and slashers and all that shit. I mean, I like to pick up different stuff I don't see the first time. Like, the first time I didn't see Peter at the police station, saw him this time.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see him in the lecture hall the first time, saw him this time, of course, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just little things that you pick up on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I liked it. Again, it's got its flaws, but I thought it was good. So, I'm surprised you're rating it so high that you hated it.
Well, I can't rate it lower than The Strangers.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, they're my baseline.
Fine, fan fiction. There is actually nothing on fanfiction.net. I'm not surprised for a 1995 movie, but I was surprised. I thought I was going to come away with nothing. I actually have 10 on Archive of Our Own.
Really?
Not a lot of crossovers. There's one with, like, Nikita and one with Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's MJ Helen pairings. A lot of femme slash.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can see that too, totally. So, yeah, that's what I have there.
That would have been a great twist at the end if, like, Ruben died and she was like, oh, well, we didn't really have a thing. I've always wanted you. And then she was like, I feel the same way.
Would you have liked the movie then?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm terrible.
I know, I'm terrible.
Okay. All right, should we pimp shit and get out?
Yeah, let's pimp and get out. Our website is themostlypodcastatnight.com. You can go there for show notes and to listen to episodes. We are also hosted on anchor.fm/podcastatnight. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, every damn platform you could imagine. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, @podcastatnight. We each have individual Instagrams. I am @chaosatnight. She is @carnageatnight. And you can email us at podcastatnight@gmail.com.
Don't forget, our store is up at Redbubble, so check it out.
Yeah, our Redbubble store.
We have shirts. We love them.
Shirts, stickers, mugs, any other damn thing you can think of. Tote bags. I think you can even get a pillow.
I think I'm getting everyone I know and love for Christmas a pillow.
You're just going to pimp your podcast to everyone you know and love for Christmas.
Yeah, I think that works. I mean, I do that on a regular basis anyway for my job.
Sounds good. You know, you do get, like, bulk, like, volume discounts on Redbubble,
yeah.
so sounds
good. Buy those for your Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice presents. Buy them.
Exactly.
For your friends and family. They'll love them. I mean, who wouldn't love if they mostly podcast the night pillow? Hello.
I personally would sleep with it in my arms every night.
Next set, we're going to have with our faces on it. So, yeah, keep your eyes out for those.
Yeah, that's going to be...
You could put your face next to our face
every
night. That's
going to be coming any second now. So that's it from me, Chaos, saying stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we are filmed in front of a live studio audience of cats. Meow.
Thanks for listening to They Mostly Podcast at Night. Our theme song is by the Computer Music All-Stars under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Link in the show notes.